Okay, so I hope you enjoyed the lecture, even though it was a little bit high level. But notice that KPMG, they actually the number 1700 plus was the number of people working with security, and more than 200 and growing in the Nordic countries. So, and he was quite clear on that demand in the coming years. So there are many consultancy companies that want to hire you. Trust me. I liked he of course in the security picture, always notice that you have this tiny piece called operations. And when you draw the big picture, you know, it's always just a small part of the big picture. But then you come down to where are the failures? Did you see that slide? Get the basics right. Over 75% of attacks exploit failures to put in place basic controls. There was just a presentation a few weeks ago at the National Cyber Security Center. This was, again, I've started reading Mikko Hyponen's tweets, so I think he retweeted this. So this is a slide from National Cyber Security Center. Let's be honest, this is how one attacks a company. This is how it's done. Attacker does a bit of research on LinkedIn, Facebook, maybe. Attacker sends a spear phishing email to someone who might have administrator access. An administrator opens an email using his administrator account, exploiting unpatched stuff. Attacker acts as admin and does nefarious stuff. Monitoring doesn't work, so no one notices. Systems and networks are flat, so no hurdles to total exploitation. Profit. No, it's the basic controls, which is why I'm really happy that you're taking this course. So you see that when you go to work with security, you need to know configuration management because that's how you try to control computers. That's how you get the basic controls into place. By the way, on another notice, this is currently the most recent story on Slashdot. Android malware used to hack and steal Tesla car. Those of you who were in the operating systems course, maybe you remember, probably don't you remember, that I mentioned a Norwegian company called Promon, which does sort of real hardcore software security, really good guys. And this is a demo video from Norwegian firm Promon. And the guy who has done this, Benjamin, he used to be a student here. I don't remember what his relation, if he was a guest researcher or something, but he worked with Hannu, who's also here sometimes, a couple of years ago. So read that story. But of course, I'm in line to buy a Tesla, so my contention is this is not a Tesla problem. Okay, so we had 10 or 11 weeks of topics. We started the first week doing basic usage of OpenStack Cloud, so we got to know that how you manually can create cloud resources, where the purpose is that you do the stuff manually once, so you would like to automate it. And also sometimes we do manual stuff. You know, maybe you maintain your security groups manually, you maintain your key pair manually, you have to do some things manually. So first week we did manual usage of cloud. And then the second week we spent with YAML and OpenStack Heat to see that we really want to compose this together into one stack so we can treat an entire infrastructure as one stack. Then we spent 4 weeks basically learning Puppet, first by an the pedagogical thinking behind this is that we first just focus on the language of Puppet, so just using that learning VM and doing the tutorial so we know the language, and then we keep focusing on the language, but then only spend time on the modules, since it's a core part of Puppet. Then we can go on and see that we can use Puppet in the master agent fashion, which is sort of the real way of using Puppet. And when we're comfortable with that, we can move on and add the workflow and the entire system with version-controlled Puppet code and deployment into environments with R10K. And that's been my goal for this course, is to teach you this. This is, of course, unique to Puppet, but it's a way of thinking that you will find in other configuration languages as well. By the way, I just learned that at NTNU in Trondheim, they don't use Puppet, they use CF Engine. So, but we used to teach, or I used to teach CF Engine in this course for the first 12 years of the course. I switched to Puppet 3 years ago. But CF Engine is still a good system. And you might end up, you know, so you need to work with CF Engine or work with Chef. But hopefully what you know from Puppet should be quite easy to transfer into those other systems. But, you know, this picture that... Yes, we have a language that can abstract away some differences between platforms, and it's a generic programming language created for writing configuration. For what you're programming is the configuration of a computer. So you have these resources, and then this is the genius that Puppet did that sort of made it into the most popular system, that they made this module system and made it easy to share modules. Made a system so that people can easily solve a problem and share it with others, and we can reuse other people's modules. But you see, in practice, you really try mostly to stick with the modules from Puppet Labs, or at least the Puppet-approved modules, or modules that you really trust. Yes, you have 4,500 modules you can use, you know, 80% of them, is not the best quality. So, but you usually find modules for most of the things you need, and if you don't find them, you know how to write them. So then you have the component modules, and ideally you just reuse modules, and the code you write as profiles in a separate module called a profile. And this is where you code, and then you separate, as many of you have shown very nicely today in the presentation, you separate your code from your data and put your data in Hiera. And then, to speak and present this to higher level management, you really want to present the picture that, you know, if you work at box.com, like I mentioned, you have 8,000 servers. And then you can just present that we have this infrastructure and we have assigned these 1,000 servers, have this role, these 5,000, they are the web application role, and then we have these 500 as the caching servers, we have these 300 as the storage servers, etc. You give all your hosts one specific role, and this is of course linked to the business logic. And assigning this role, you do using some classifier, and the classifier we use, that function of course is informant, because then we have the nice GUI as well, so we can see what's happening, and we use foreman for classifying and roles to hosts. So that's really been my goal with this course. I've been to teach you R10K. The magic of R10K, that you, because then you have the link to version control of your code, and you have the link between branches and environments, and you can actually create code by just working as a programmer, committing to Git, and then you can easily create your own environment and do testing. Then in the second part of this course, we applied this and expanded on this with the Elk Stack for centralized logging, Sensu for monitoring. We had a part on Active Directory and desired state configuration, and finally some things on Exchange. And this second part of the course here, I'm personally extremely dissatisfied with. Yeah. So, you know a little bit about it. You have done something with these concepts. But when you do the course evaluation, feel free to say that this part here really needs improvement, because I completely agree. I was hoping to have more time in October to work on this, but I'm sorry, but my time has been running away from me. So, but at least we have done a little bit about it, but I really wanted to do some more fun teaching on these topics as well. I feel bad that when we deploy something like the Elk Stack with Kibana, we have all these opportunities to do something exciting, to create something, use the logs for something, have some really fun exercises. And I really want to create that, but maybe I'll be able to do that before next time this course is run. And then hopefully you've had the most valuable part of the course with your project work at the end. At least I think you've done very well. It was very interesting presentations today, and I really look forward to start reading the reports on Monday and Tuesday. And I will read and assign a point score to the reports, and I'll do the same thing. I think I'll do the same thing with that as the midterm, that I'll give you feedback in Fronter. That will happen at least before the final exam. The final exam is on December 9th. I'll get back to that. Get back to that in a second. So, just about the course, I hope you have found it useful and valuable. This is my favorite course, and I'm really happy with it. Even though, as I said, I'm unhappy with not being able to do more exciting things in the second part of the course. But I'm happy because I don't think you find this course anywhere else. At least I don't know of anyone running a course like this. And I really think others should be running a course like this. So I sort of hope that other universities will catch on and have a dedicated course on infrastructure as code. Other things I will do in the future with this course And was also partly my plan for this semester, but I never got around to it. What was, of course, to do more on containers, having its and more on containers and more on the testing pipeline. Now I really should include. Like Kubernetes, like some of you did in the project, should be in here with some role. There should be an automated pipeline using Jenkins. You see, everywhere you go, you see people end up using Jenkins as part of the pipeline. And this can easily be integrated when you commit to Git. It's a post hook, and then run some tests and push this on to Jenkins, and then this link this with R10K, etc. So we should do more around this process. There are several things that I hope to do in the future. But again, if we do more stuff, then we have to take something away. So we'll see what we'll do. Okay. Yeah. So the bottom line, I hope you found this course useful. I think you will see that it's useful in the future. And after you have received, after December 9th, I will grade your exams as soon as I can. And as soon as I've handed in the grades, I will publish on Fronter an evaluation form, which is really important to me. And I hope you will all feel that... fill that evaluation form out and then give me feedback on the course. So the exam is similar to the midterm, 2 hours, 12 questions, same format. Most of the questions are from the second part of the course. So we, for the midterm, we stopped before R10K. So you'll see that the review questions and problems, there are a couple of questions here for each week. Like these questions. This is the kind of questions you can get on the final exam. So here, the rest of the review questions and problems, they are now complete. You will find the answers or the possible answers in the sample solutions here. There. In the exams folder, you will see that last year's exam, which is the same as the midterm, just with the front page. And this time it will say NTNU something. Last year the exam was in the afternoon. I'm not sure if it will be this year. Have you seen the schedule yet? If the, I don't know. It should say in StudWeb the exact time when the exam is. So there's still a lot of questions about Puppet. There will be some desired state configuration questions. This question, explain how exported resources work in Puppet. This will not be on the final exam. I have deliberately avoided exported resources this semester. I have done quite a lot of improvements for this course with respect to last year. And one of the things is I'm not sure we want to, or in the future, I'm not sure you really want to use exported resources there in Puppet. It's a useful feature, but I have a gut feeling that that's something that might be a bit deprecated in the future and is unnecessarily complex. So don't worry about, you don't have to learn what exported resources are. Last year when we used Isinga, or if you use Isinga or Nagios, then you use exported resources in Puppet as a way of each agent automatically telling the Puppet master who they are, so it can, another Puppet agent can pick that information up and create configuration files. But that's sort of the old style of doing this, which doesn't scale to the dynamic environment. So, yeah. So you don't have to worry about this. And what I want to stress is that I made some questions last year. I made some more questions this last week. And when I make questions, I try to focus on what I assume that you have done all the lab exercises. And I assume that you read everything here that's not in parentheses. So if you have done the lab exercises and you read these, you don't have to read all the Sensu documentation, you don't have to read all this, but these links, and these here. And I've created some questions based on these documents, but I try not to have them too detailed. Like if you study this mail flow and transport pipeline. This is a very detailed document. I will not ask you to draw and describe the figures in there. But I will ask you some general questions about exchange, which I'm sure you'll be able to answer if you read these documents. But so, that's the information I will give you about the final exam. Make sure you read this. Look at last year's exam. And look at the review questions. And you should have a good feeling about what the exam will look like. And you should be well prepared. I can tell you that there are two questions. I'll be as concrete as that. There are two questions from the first part of the course. So questions might appear from the entire course. The final exam is not exclusively on the second part. But there are two concrete questions that are directly from the first part of the course. But most of the questions are based on the second part of the course. Do you have any questions? Then we have these four guys. This is a student reference group. I will ask... Two of you are here, two are not here. I will ask you to for a meeting sometime next week because we have to have one more meeting. I would like to hear from you, and then you need to fill out a form, which is an easy form. And the rest of you, please give them feedback if you want them to talk to me about something. Or just come to me and talk to me if you have something you would like to bring up. No questions. Okay. But remember that my office is still in the corner. I have been... not very much in my office in the last weeks because I've been traveling and working too much, but I will be there most of next week as well. And if you look for me and I'm not there, just please email me or send me an SMS and I'll show up. Because it's if I'm in what you call fire extinguisher mode, brandslukningsmodus, firefighting mode, I've sort of been in firefighting mode, like when I have to write the rest of the questions for this course, then I stay at home on the couch with my laptop and coffee and just shut the doors so I know that I'm able to complete what I have to do. And I've sort of been in this mode now for 2 weeks where I just have all the things I have to do before the deadline. But now things are... I've completed most of the things, so next week I should be more social again, meaning I will hopefully be in my office. Mm. So just come see me if there's anything you're wondering about. Okay, then wish you good luck with the exams and a good weekend.